We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Happy Friday and welcome into another edition of the PHNX D-backs podcast right here on PHNX. My name is Derek Montilla. Of course, I am your tribal chief and your mayor, the one and only. This guy can't mute his computer. He's also my wise man and my vice mayor.
It turned out the computer was already muted
in
my defense. And so I was just making sure. And you know, if you try to mute a computer that's already muted, it turns out you unmute the computer. So
he's science. Full of excuses. It's the one and only Jesse Friedman. Welcome in and welcome, of course, happy Friday to you all. This show is brought to you by the fine folks at the DraftKings Sportsbook app, America's top-rated sportsbook app. Yesterday, we had MLB Pipeline's very exciting top 100 prospects reveal on the MLB Network, which we will get to shortly, but we have some more news involving the MLB Network and an Arizona Diamondback player. Ketel Marte has been ranked the eighth best second baseman in all of baseball by MLB.com. However, MLB Network, who ranked him as the top second baseman in all of baseball prior to last season, won't be fooled again, and they do not have Marte in their top 10. So, Jesse, I guess, does eight seem a little bit more reasonable for Ketel Marte than one? And or are they overvaluing Marte over at MLB.com? Are they much like us?
Yeah, I think what it says about Marte is that, I mean, there is still some recent performance here that was very, very good, right? Yes. Ketel was hurt a lot in 2021, but he was a very, very good player. And, you know, it was about a year ago that the Diamondbacks signed an extension with Ketel Marte, and every Diamondbacks fan was very excited about it because he seemed like a jackpot guy to extend, especially for, I want to say, 5 years, $76 million. It seemed like a total steal for a player of his caliber. But, you know, we saw the injury bug hurt his season in a big way in 2022. He still played a decent number of games, but I think it's fair to say that Ketel was not really fully himself for a good portion of the year. I think the hamstring issues held him back. Defensively, there are a number of questions there. But yeah, I don't think the eighth ranking is necessarily too crazy. You look around the league and there aren't that many elite second basemen in baseball right now.
Right.
It's just kind of the state of the game. You look around the league, Jose Altuve, probably the clear front runner here. Andrés Giménez had an extraordinary season for the Cleveland Guardians last year. He's a guy that hopefully baseball fans will become more acquainted with in the coming years because he deserves all of the flowers in my book.
Absolutely.
For the season that he just had. But after that, you know, Jeff McNeil, .326 batting average last year. That's kind of what he does. He doesn't necessarily, you know, hit for much power. He doesn't walk a ton, but his bat to ball skills are really off the charts. And, you know, after that, I'm not sure there really are any clearly elite second baseman in the game. That's just kind of where Major League Baseball is right now at that position.
It's like his 106 OPS plus, right? He's just good enough to be above average. That small margin of being better than average is enough to get you on the top 10 list. I mean, he struggled at times. I still think a lot of it was due to injury, but that seems like a cop out, right? Just to say it's automatically due to injury. You just can't help but notice that guy, you know, dropped off the way he did last year. And he just continued to have over the last 2 years, just a number of injuries that seemed to kind of linger and cause him problems. I think Marte is still a key piece to this team. And we both have said that we feel like he is going to rebound this year. To be honest, his numbers last year weren't terrible. They just weren't the guy that the Diamondbacks extended and kind of looked to be the I guess the crown jewel of their of their franchise for the time being. Now with the younger guys coming up, and honestly with Marte's contract being relatively team friendly, it feels like he's playing adequately enough for him to not be a failure as far as, you know, the extending him and having him further be a part of this team. It just still feels like there's untapped potential there that he could get back to. He was just, you know, we said it about Marte. He's a guy that hits 320. And that's kind of a joke we make, but to be honest, that's kind of something
we really believed it going into last year. We really believed it.
Seemed like he was going to be that guy again. But and I don't know. I think that often we've talked about guys we think are going to rebound in 2023. Mark Melanson has been a name we kind of throw around. Some of the other guys on this team think Christian Walker has the potential to have a very good season after the slow start that he had in 2022 if he can kind of continue on the path he was in the second half. Jake McCarthy as well. He's another guy that if he continues down that path in the second half, he could be incredibly good for this team next year. The thing about Cattell is we've seen how good he can be. And I think that right there, seeing how good consistently he can be over a season when it isn't, when injuries aren't getting in his way. So I truly believe that next year is going to be probably a season more like what we're used to from Cattell, but a season people will rave about because of his, you know, hopefully his ability to bounce back.
Yeah, I mean, looking at this contract, which again, I mean, everyone was stoked about this a year ago when it was first signed. So Cattell is due to make $11 million in 2023, which is fine. That's not that much. I believe it would have been $10 million in his previous contract, but with the new deal that got bumped up to $11 million. 2024, $13 million. 2025, $16 million. That's also true for 2026. Then 2027, it goes down to $14 million. And then you've got a $13 million club option with a $3 million buyout in 2028. So none of the number never gets higher than $16 million. The D-backs will never be paying Cattell more than $16 million a year. But his defense took a big step back last year. We've talked about that a lot over the offseason. And to me, that's almost the thing that's most concerning. I think Cattell's a good enough hitter that I do expect a moderate bounce back this season. If you look at the projections, I think Zips is very high on Cattell Marte, having, you know, an 800, 850 OPS. I'm not sure I'm quite that bullish after what I saw last year. But the defense is going to be a big question, because if Cattell Marte at 29 years old, I want to say, if he's already at the point where he needs to be a DH in this league, that's not what the D-backs were signing up for. I don't think they expected Marte's defense to deteriorate that quickly. Torey Lovello talked about it at the winter meetings. He actually was in the Dominican Republic and visited with Cattell, and they talked a little bit about his defense, and especially with the shift restrictions coming, it's going to put a lot more stress on second baseman in particular. Cattell is not going to be able to get, you know, bailed out by Nick Ahmed coming over, you know, whatever kind of defensive shifting the Diamondbacks might do.
Yeah.
So it's going to put a lot of pressure on him. And if he's the same defender he was last year, potentially disastrous scenario for the D-backs, like a potential situation where Cattell just kind of has to DH most of the time because he's just killing you with his defense at second base.
I don't know if he's going to be that bad, but it's going to be interesting to see how the defensive shift restrictions impact that.
Yeah.
Also, I don't know if 800 OPS is so crazy over an 800.
It's not. No, it's not that crazy.
It's an odd year, Jesse.
It is an odd year. That's a great point.
In 2019, he had a 981 OPS. 2020, 732. 2021, 909 OPS. 2022, not so hot, 727. So here we are, back on an odd year. So I'm guessing he's going to have an OPS around 993. That's what his OPS is going to be around.
Science.
Well, he's not the only extremely highly ranked player on this team. As we talked about a little while ago, MLB Pipeline released their top 100 prospects list in a very exciting MLB Network special. I enjoyed the way that they did it. They had me glued to my television set all night long.
They really have it figured out. They're like, we can play as many commercials as we want every 5 or 10 prospects.
We don't even need to talk about all five. We'll like throw a couple of guys in there and like, he's good. Anyway, moving on to these other two guys we know more about. But the D-backs had four prospects in the top 100, Gabriel Moreno being the only one that we've seen on Baseball America's list that isn't on this list or other publications list due to the Toronto Blue Jays kind of screwing that up. See how angry I am? I'm smacking my mic about it. The Toronto Blue Jays had him up, not actually playing enough technically, just had him on the main roster enough for him to lose his rookie status or his prospect status. But they did have the other four guys, the same guys we've seen on Baseball America's list, Brandon Pfaadt, Drew Jones, Jordan Lawler, and Corbin Carroll. However, Brandon Pfaadt was much lower, and everybody else was kind of extremely high, to be honest. Brandon Pfaadt was 59th, and that's where Jesse and I both kind of, I think, realistically had him ranked a little bit more. That's why Baseball America's ranking of him in the top 30 was a bit surprising. But Brandon Pfaadt is still going to be an excellent pitcher for this organization. He's going to debut this year, and he's honestly the best pitching prospect that they have, period. And he might be better than some of the guys even on the main roster right now as we speak. But Drew Jones, Jordan Lawler, and Corbin Carroll all in the top 15.
Yeah, it's insane. It's absolutely insane. We talked about the Baseball America rankings and how crazy those were the other day. This is almost equally crazy. Like you said, they don't have Brandon Pfaadt quite as high. They're not quite as high on his slider in particular. Mm-hmm. They have him at a 55 on the 20 to 80 scale for his slider and a 55 in command. On the 20 to 80 scale, both of those numbers were 60 for Baseball America. So you can kind of see where the disparity came from. But yeah, I mean, I was looking at this yesterday. Only 11 of the 30 teams in baseball had even one representative in the top 15. Only 11 teams in baseball. That's less than half the league had a top 15 prospect. The D-backs have three of them, right? It's an insane, it's a little bit top heavy, right? The system's a little top heavy. We're seeing that in these rankings, right? It's Lawler, Jones, and Corbin Carroll, right, at the top of all these lists. Yep. And then you may or may not have Brandon Pfaadt, depending on the list. I don't think we're going to see Ryan Nelson, Dre Jameson, Davison De Los Santos. I don't think we're going to see them in any top 100s this year. So it's a little top heavy, but being top heavy is not the worst thing in the world when you've got the caliber of players the D-backs do.
And Davison De Los Santos was ranked in the top 10 for third base prospects.
He was.
So he is ranked, as far as MLB.com, pretty highly on their list as well. That damn Gunnar Henderson, though.
Yeah.
He seems to be the thorn in our side when it comes to Corbin Carroll getting his flowers at the top. That was exciting to watch as it went down. As Matt Huff pointed out, yes, watching the Pipeline special did go a little bit like, here's Corbin Carroll and Jordan Walker and Whopper, 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 Whopper. I know Shane's going to love that I did that, but... that's basically how it went. I was fine though, because D-backs were up there and that was fun. Orioles, speaking of which, I'm very jealous of, because they had the most prospects in the top 100, including Gunnar Henderson at number one overall, but they had 8 prospects in the top 100. Very impressive for a team that had a similar bounce back. I think the Diamondbacks, Mets, and the Orioles were the 3 top teams as far as their improvement from 2021 to 2022. So it's great to see a team like the Orioles not only already kind of coming out of it, much like the D-backs are, but also having that, you know, those amazing young prospects in their system ready to go and come up and, you know, slowly make this team better over the next few years, much like we'll see with the D-backs.
Yeah, we also saw another guy on the Orioles list that was among those 8 on the top 100 was Heston Kerstad, who we saw in the Fall League. He was the Fall League MVP. This is something I'm thinking about potentially writing about, is kind of comparing the Diamondbacks and the Orioles and where they, because they've kind of had a similar path the last few years, right? Mm-hmm. They were both miserable baseball teams in 2021. Yeah. Both had pretty remarkable bounce backs last year.
Remember how mad we were about Josh Van Meter losing us Elijah Green?
Yes.
Man, how things change.
And now Elijah Green, I think, is 46 on the top 100 list.
I texted you that last night that I was very kind of giddy about how that pivoted in our
Elijah favor. Green's the type of guy who could be the number one prospect in baseball in a couple years.
Sure.
So it's just the issue with Elijah Green has nothing to do with the ceiling and everything to do with the floor. It's a question of like, is this guy going to swing and miss too much to even really be like a viable major league hitter? But the ceiling is still sky high. It's every bit as high as we thought it could be, you know, when we were thinking about that a couple years ago. So I also think, like, looking ahead to next year, could Jordan Lawler be sort of the Corbin Carroll of this year, where he's in the top one, two, or three of prospect lists next year, I could see that. If Jordan Lawler comes out this season, has a big year, maybe he gets to the majors at the end of the season. Not impossible. I could see a scenario where we're talking next offseason and Jordan Lawler is number one, number two, number three, you know, in at least that top five of some of these lists.
MLB Pipeline and MLB.com or the MLB Network, they were very, very complimentary of the Arizona Diamondbacks, even though they don't have as many prospects as some of the other teams that do have a lot of prospects in the top 100. Orioles, like I said, had the most with eight. Guardians and Dodgers were tied with the second most with seven each. The Diamondbacks with their four prospects. But according to the piece by MLB Pipeline, Arizona boasts arguably the best big four of any prospect group this year.
Yeah.
And again, if that isn't something that gets you excited, then check your pulse. I don't know what else, at least for the future of this team, would be more exciting than hearing those words. I mean, maybe having eight like the Orioles did and kind of, you know, still contending. I think the Orioles ended with a plus 500 record, but they did speak about the Arizona.
They're a little ahead of the D-backs right now, I think most people would say.
But not too far off. And
their division is possibly even more miserable than the Diamondbacks division. Yeah. So,
but they did speak about the Arizona outfield being a no-fly zone in the future, as far as once they have Drew Jones. And I'll even throw a bold prediction out there, a bullish take, if as Jesse would say. But I will say that the next time we get this top 100 prospects ranking, not midseason, but at this time next year, I wouldn't be surprised to see Drew Jones actually be the Arizona's top prospect, surpassing Jordan Lawler.
Yeah, I think it is very possible that the Diamondbacks could have both Jones and Lawler in like a top five next year. That wouldn't surprise me because we haven't even seen Drew Jones play a professional game yet. And we've only seen one full professional season of Jordan Lawler. And it's really hard for guys to be in the top, you know, top five when they haven't really played much above A ball, right? And that's kind of where Jordan Lawler is right now. We saw him in the fall league. We saw him a little bit in Double A, but he kind of struggled there. If he's able to prove some things this season, he really could move up those lists in a big way.
Brett Johnson in the comments says, also, how happy are y'all that Miggy Montero is back? That's a very exciting thing. I'm very excited about Miggy Montero being back. I loved Miguel Montero. He was around when I first started covering this team. And there was just something as a new journalist, if you want to call me that, he was very comforting to speak to Miguel Montero. Sometimes it's intimidating to talk to some of these guys, and especially doing game recaps where you're coming at them after a loss and expecting them not to be fired up or take your questions, offense to your questions, right? Miguel Montero was always kind of a calming voice in the clubhouse, and it was always a pleasure to be around him. So it's great to have him back. And honestly, it's great to have guys back, you know, as members of the organization now that are no longer playing ball, that you know, are working for the Diamondbacks. I know it's an absolute pleasure to see Luis Gonzalez and Randy Johnson around the ballpark all the time. And,
yeah,
you know, I mean, that's...
D-backs love their former players, man.
Yeah, so do we. We do, too.
Yeah, I think everyone does.
Gonzo is the man. And I remind you the fact that one day he let me cut line at Dutch Brothers. Like, who does that? Who lets people cut line at Dutch Bros? An absolute baby angel, that's who. But I'm going to need, Jesse, I'm going to need you, because you're always criticizing our dog noises. I need you to give me your best bark, Jesse.
Roof.
Oh, that's pretty good, actually.
That's pretty good. Yeah, it at least sounded like a dog.
I wasn't expecting you to like really try, but that was good. That was really good. That was more of an overdog than an underdog.
Why do you doubt me, Derek?
I don't know. Because I haven't heard about you winning one thing on Underdog Fantasy, and that's why I doubt you. But Underdog Fantasy, of course, does daily fantasy differently. Grab five of your friends, get together, pick some teams, and win some cold hard cash. The highest scoring squad for that night wins that money. You can draft six NBA players with no positional limits, and that's it. Then you just go stats and points, fantasy points, and see who wins. It's a fun time because I don't like getting involved in entire seasons of anything. I am a fantasy football person at the most, and even that lasts way too long for me. They added an extra game to the season? What the hell?
Would not survive fantasy baseball.
No, I wouldn't. I barely survived a fantasy hockey season one time, and I had no business playing that. But the best part about this is you can get down on a fantasy for a night instead of an entire season. You can also get down on their pick'ems games, higher, lower, on a wide variety of stats and different categories for you to choose from. And the more that you add, the more money you can win. It's this easy to get started too. Go over to underdogfantasy.com or download the app, sign up with promo code PHNX, and Underdog will match your first deposit up to $100. And like Brett Johnson says, pitch count bets till we die. Let's go. Easy. It's easy money over at the Underdog Fantasy app. Four Peaks Brewing Company, by the way, we wanted to once again give our thanks. We had a blast over there on Wednesday, chicken tendies and beers all over the place. Their new beers were great. Make sure to try those out before they run out, because they were already out of the recreational juice dank IPA, which makes me sad. I wanted to try it. But you can still try their Staycation Super Juicy IPA. And more importantly, you can get down on the Super Bowl over at Four Peaks Brewing Company. We'll also be there every last Wednesday of the month. So if you didn't catch us this Wednesday, catch us next month.
Their patio is glorious.
Their patio is so good.
It's just so nice inside.
Personal story. I really bundled up. Jesse really bundled up. And we overshot it a little bit. We were a little too warm for the patio out there because it's Phoenix.
It turns out 62 degrees is not synonymous with a Chicago winter.
Correct.
Which is what we were all preparing for.
Yeah, we were in the sunshine. It was kind of beautiful out. You know, there was lots of things there to be.
I wore a North Face puffer jacket.
He did. I saw it.
In about 5 minutes, and I was like, What the hell happened?
Yeah. I believe while he was showing me that, I was putting up the sunshade over my table so that way I could block the sun out of my face. But yeah, like Jesse said, Four Peaks Brewing Company patio is beautiful. Bunch of places to have the Super Bowl with your friends, or just go out there for lunch, whatever. And if you can't make it out to Four Peaks, grab their beer wherever you get your beer here in the Valley. Let's shop local brands and let's support Four Peaks Brewing Company. Of course, must be 21 or over to enjoy, and enjoy responsibly.
People are really complimentary my bark.
Yeah, your bark was good. I'm telling you.
Although Gabriel said that sounded like my dog when she's sad.
I like Kenneth Felix said Jesse's got that dog in him. So
I appreciate that, Ken.
I can't attest this guy does have that dog.
Jesse, you a big DMX fan?
Yeah.
That's what everyone's saying.
No,
that was
idea.
Kind of a small puppy.
No,
that's
no
pretty
idea.
On brand.
Yeah. all right. But we actually are, of course, not only your leading source of barks for Arizona Diamondbacks news, but we're your leading source of jersey information and hat information. We pride ourselves on that. And we actually have some new information, again, much like the spring training hat, unconfirmed. We have no confirmation from the team. But according to some information I was sent from a source, the D-backs are going to be utilizing the A logo once again this season as their primary logo with the red and teal. And this is, you can check out their Twitter account and you'll see that they have up there at the top, they've changed it to that guy. Mm. That guy's all over the place, Jesse.
So you're saying that one's here to stay. This isn't just like they're going to do that for spring training or something and then switch it back?
This is their 25th anniversary. So I have been told that they have a lot of stuff coming in to celebrate the 25th anniversary. And I think that the direction that they're going to go with this is that this is going to be like the mending of the two generations. You're going to have the Sedona red and the teal. I know that it's been very popular. Especially this version of it, even though it does look a little bit like the Miami Marlins stuff, I'll admit. But I just love it. I think it pops on the jersey. I think all together it looks
Marlins
very
don't
good.
Really have red.
No. It's not the red. It's just the outline of the blue and the
and the teal is pretty much the same.
Pretty,
as the Marlins
pretty close.
Teal,
yeah. But fun fact, by the way, about that A logo. It was designed by Campbell Fisher Ditko, a Phoenix-based graphic design firm, who also designed the Streaking Suns logo that the Suns are using again this year, the ones from the mid-90s. And fun fact, it's also the design firm that designed the PHNX Suns' logo that they currently use on PHNX
really?
Suns. Yes.
Did he design our PHNX D-backs logo?
He did not. No, sadly. No. I wish he did, though, because that would be very exciting. we also have some other unconfirmed information in regards to that A and the jersey. We've been informed that the only white jersey the D-backs will be wearing from last season is this teal kit design, which is currently listed as their alternate one kit, their first alternate. So this will be the D-backs' primary home uniform for the year, unconfirmed. I don't know if they'll use that hat. They might use the A hat with this combination. Regardless, I think that's a slick look.
I've always thought this was the nicest looking home jersey they had,
me too.
Honestly.
Me too.
It's one of those things where like you get a little tired of Like in a situation, in some ways, you want like the really cool uniform to be kind of a rare thing. Like, oh, they're wearing that really cool jersey today. Like, if you wore it every day, then maybe it wouldn't be as special. But I personally am of the belief that like this has always been kind of their best home uniform, yeah. at least over the last few years. And so, yeah, use it every day. Like, it, yeah. I think it's really cool. And I know people, of course, are clamoring for the purple and teal to come back. I think, unfortunately, that's just not going to happen. But bringing the teal back in is kind of the compromise that I think they're making with fans. And I don't know if fans are necessarily satisfied with that, but I do like it. I do think it's a really good look for them.
I will say this, interestingly enough, I've gotten some information that like within the organization, they were very surprised that people hated the Sedona red and sand as much as they did. I think they really thought that it was going to be like a unique thing here in the NL West with no other red teams
yeah.
in the NL West, and that people were going to enjoy having that difference from the Colorado Rockies also sharing the purple with us. I have a couple ideas for jerseys, and I know it's too late to get them in for this season, but I would love to see a jersey with no buttons, just like a jersey, you know, with the V-neck. Maybe the A logo on the side, or even the Los D-backs one, which I think is really cool. But because it has more words, I think it might look
sure.
good without the
sure.
split
yeah.
down the middle. If I'm being frank, I'd also love like, okay, you're not going to bring back the purple and the teal, right?
No.
Maybe
don't think so.
Can we bring back maybe the pinstripe vest look? Maybe can we bring back a new version of that? Like, do it, make it look like the old one, but do it in this color scheme of the Sedona red and the teal and the black.
I feel like, and yeah, I mean, we don't have any information on this yet, but if the D-backs are embracing like a, let's go back to the roots, right? Like let's merge the modern D-backs look with where it started back in 98. I feel like there's a lot of room for them to do something like that where they have, I don't know, maybe it's a throwback Thursday thing like they did in the past where
that
they like
so
fully embrace like what the uniforms used to look like. They haven't done the throwback Thursday thing in a few years, which as we talked about yesterday is still sort of baffling to me, but yeah, there's a lot of room for them to I don't know, kind of bring it back to the old days of what fans used to really enjoy, even if that's not going full on back to purple and teal.
Nicholas in the comments said, I want to see a primary black jersey with the teal A, kind of like how they did with the Los D-backs jersey from a while back. Yeah, that Los D-backs jersey, that's the one I was talking about.
Yeah.
It pops on the black with the maroon and then the teal outline.
That looks great. Yeah.
It looks great. It would be great to see them do something just different. You know, just try to be different.
Well, they did something pretty different. What year was that? 14, 2014?
Oh, yeah. Gradient
they were
patterns.
Different.
Yeah, gradient patterns. Now we just have them on our bald heads is all we have gradient patterns on. But another interesting fact that came from my source at the team shop is I was told that there is a slight chance that we might see some sort of change next year because there's basically like a it's not business as usual as far as like the designs and stuff. It really feels like there might be more like brand new stuff coming in next year. So I thought we might see it this year. I thought the 25th anniversary was the biggest, the most appropriate time to see it. But who knows? I mean, maybe now would be a great time, or maybe next year, you know, whenever. I don't care. It's always a good time for teal and purple. So thank you guys, by the way, for being here. If you haven't already done so, make sure to subscribe to the PHNX YouTube channel. Sign up for notifications. That way you don't miss when we go live or any of our other shows go live. And if you're listening to us right now on your favorite audio podcasting app, please subscribe to us there. Leave us a review. We always appreciate your feedback. Brett, I am going to continue to teach you.
Oh, yeah. Brett, you're absolutely right. That was 2016. Yeah. Hashtag join the evolution.
Join there the evolution. Go. But it's weird to me that that's still like the primary jersey you find when you look up D-backs jerseys is all.
Yeah,
that stuff
there are a lot of
gradient.
People who still think the D-backs uniforms are terrible because those jerseys are like forever ingrained in their minds.
Yep.
I personally didn't dislike them that much at the time. I remember thinking that the gray was too dark, but I was one of the few who actually thought they were OK at the time. And I genuinely think the team's uniforms are great now. That's just me.
Nicholas digs the shirt, and I dig Nicholas. Matt Huff says the black Serpientis jersey that was a giveaway jersey last year. I agree with that. The swapping of it where it's black with the words in beige was hot. It's
a
hot
jersey. Really should.
Yeah. I don't even know why they made that. Just to tantalize us, just to be like, this is what it could look like, but we're not giving it to you. You know. also, if you haven't done so already, sign up for a PHNX Diehards membership. Get Jesse's wonderful writing, no matter if it's unlocked or locked behind the paywall. Also get the wonderful writing from Gerald, Craig, and all of our other writers, Howard as well. We also have a free t-shirt, free hat, free piece of merchandise from the PHNXLocker.com. You can get this amazing shirt from the PHNXLocker.com as your free shirt, or this hat that I'm wearing. I'm wearing all the merch. You get 20% off as well on all your future orders. You also get 20% off events and other discounts from our partners. You get members-only merch, members-only discounts, all sorts of stuff, members-only access to our Discord, members-only events, and so much more. So make sure to sign up for a Diehards membership over at gophnx.com. We appreciate you. Whether you are a member or not, we appreciate you, but we love you even more for becoming a diehard. And of course, whether you're diehard or not a diehard, you need to send Jesse Friedman your ideas for what furniture he needs for his house, for more furniture, because this is getting exhausting. Jesse, again, just believes strongly in the Chase lounges. He asked me if they make like an outdoor Chase lounge, and I was like, no. And then he sent me like 15
pictures.
Oh, they
pictures. Absolutely make
he said
outdoor
he found
Chase
so
lounges.
So many of them. I was like, why would you even want that? And he said, Derek, Chase lounges in every room. But whether he gets those or not, he's going to be able to have them delivered by morefurniture.com, but I really think you should get some more stuff. Visit More Furniture on the crossroads of 45th Street McDowell and use promo code PHNX to get free delivery and installation on any purchase of $999 or more. This is not available online, so make sure to visit that specific location at 44th Street McDowell for that discount. This is a limited time offer only that is valid until January 31st, exclusively for our PHNX listeners. So take advantage now. Go get your house spruced up just in time. Maybe in time for the Royal Rumble tomorrow. Maybe in time for the Super Bowl next weekend. Whatever your cup of tea is. I'm trying to cover my whole audience, and I know my audience. But regardless, go to check out morefurniture.com. Before we get out of here, Jesse and I just wanted to once again say how much we really, really miss Zach Greinke. Zach Greinke remains a free agent. And of course, that's not right. Somebody should snatch Zach Greinke up. I think the pitching ninja, aka Rob Friedman, yesterday on Twitter dedicated his account to Greinke, maybe to help him get picked up by a team. But it was fun to reminisce and go through all the weird times that we had with Zach Greinke. And if nothing more, I told Jesse, like, I've had to like cover my mouth from laughing very hard at Zach Greinke and the comments he makes and how funny he just naturally is as a person. But the most fascinating thing to me about him is he's not even trying most of the time. Like the Greinke last name thing during Players Weekend, where that was his nickname, I don't even think he was trying to be funny. I literally think he was just like, what do you want on the back of your jersey, Zach? And he's like, Greinke.
I mean, it's the most Zach Greinke response
it really
possible
is.
To that question. It's completely on brand.
But of course, we went through memory lane a little bit. Friedman posted GIFs and quotes from Greinke, including a GIF showing Zach Greinke's career fastest strike at 100.4 miles per hour and his slowest strike at 51.5 miles an hour.
Honestly, the 100.4 surprises me a little bit more.
Because you've seen the Ephus pitch
before.
We've seen the
I mean, 51.4, I mean, that's pretty insane. Yeah. But to imagine Zach Greinke throwing over 100 miles an hour is just absolutely frightening. And I know early in his career, he did have like mid-upper 90s stuff. I don't think he was like sitting 100 or anything. I don't think he was sitting 99. But even just one pitch from Zach Greinke that was over 100 miles an hour is insane, because he has this reputation as like a command artist, right? As a guy who doesn't necessarily get you with stuff. He gets you with finesse. It's like, no, not really. Like when Zach Greinke was young, he threw over 100 miles an hour at a time when very few pitchers actually did that, right? So, yeah, I mean, he's an absolute treasure of a human being and, of course, a major league pitcher. Hopefully we get to see one more year at least of Zach Greinke.
He's a treasure of a human being. He's a treasure of a human being who one time in 2009 took on Chipotle. And I mean, not all heroes wear capes, right? Some of them wear baseball uniforms. And the reason why that quote is so special to me is because of how it ended. Zach Greinke was asked about the guacamole at Chipotle. And Greinke said this. He said, I like the guacamole. Now, I don't really love the guacamole, so I get it when I feel like it. They changed their guacamole from $1.50 to $1.80. I mean, $1.50 is already pretty darn high, so they changed it to $1.80, and I'll never get guacamole again. And then he finished it off by saying, it's not about the guacamole itself. I just don't want to let them win. This man is a competitor, whether he is eating lunch, whether he is ribbing his friends and ribbing the media, as Jesse and I both can attest to, or if he's just attacking someone on the mound during a baseball game. But he's not wrong, because here we are 14 years later, and the guacamole, Jesse, at Chipotle is currently $1.95.
I'm surprised it's not more.
I'm surprised it's not more, honestly.
With how crazy inflation has been. I don't generally get guacamole at restaurants because, that's honestly on the cheaper end. Like $1.95, I feel like is kind of reasonable for guacamole at this point. I feel like most Mexican joints are well past that.
Well, because they want to bring you like a bowl of guacamole, even though it's understood in this scenario that I just wanted guacamole on my burrito.
Right.
Or I just wanted a side of it for these three tacos I have. I don't want a shareable bowl that you can bring to the table. That's not what the point of this is.
Yeah.
But guess what? They're going to charge you the same anyway. So you might as well get the shareable bowl is what I'm saying.
The most beautiful part of that story, though, is that Zach Greinke's career earnings are over $250 million.
Correct.
Fourth most all-time.
Yeah.
Approaching half $1 billion, yeah. Really. Right. According to Baseball Reference, it says $330 million, but there's a couple years here that are blank. So I think it's more than $330 million. Yeah. So, the fact that a guy who's made that much money is scoffing at paying $1.80 for his guacamole
makes me feel good about myself.
It's incredible. It's incredible.
Jesse Greinke also told the same reporter who wrote this article back in 2009 a very important quote, and I want you to reflect at times how I've changed your life, how I have helped make your life better, because
here
Greinke,
we go.
When pestered by this reporter, told the reporter, "You're not allowed to write about me if you haven't seen The Shawshank Redemption. See it and then get back to me." So you're welcome, Jesse. You're welcome that you're now allowed to cover Zach Greinke.
I am.
Because I have cultured you by making you watch movies. Speaking of which, we need to give Jesse his next movie assignment. So I would, we are open to any and all suggestions. We'll put a tweet out there.
We're past the Christmas movies.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, Die Hard was the end all be all of Christmas movies. So that we put a bow on that. But whatever your suggestions are, baseball movies, football movies, maybe movies that don't have anything to do with sports, that'll really blow his mind. Because I don't know if he's ever seen movies that don't involve sports. But
Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah, Shawshank Redemption. There's baseball in it, right?
Yeah, that's fair.
All right. Well, make sure, like I said, to tweet us your ideas or leave it here in the chat. We always love hearing you. But make sure, if you haven't done so already, to sign up for the DraftKings Sportsbook app. It's conference championship time, y'all, and it's time to make some money. There's only a few more shots to win big on the playoffs with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. There's four NFL teams, two conference championship games, and a whole lot of money on the line. Counting down to Super Bowl 57, new customers can bet just $5 and get $200 in free bets. That easy. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use our promo code of PHNX and bet that $5 on the conference championships to get $200 in free bets instantly. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code PHNX. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. I also took some NBA action. They had an odds boost tonight for if the I think it was the Milwaukee Bucks winning and the Golden State Warriors winning. And they're both favorites in their game. Seems like a no-brainer. We'll see I'm back here on Monday, talking about how much money I won. But I do know, regardless if I win or lose, I'm going to save money. Just like Zach Greinke on guacamole by not purchasing it, I'm going to save money by waiting until the last minute to buy my tickets at game time. Of course.
Zach Greinke would definitely use the game time.
Oh, 100%. 100%. See, Zach Greinke is a man of culture and class, and Zach Greinke knows that he's a very busy man. There's no way he can make plans, 6 months in advance? Like, I'm supposed to know already that I'm going to go to Pink in September at Chase Field? What? I might be dead by then. I can't invest in tickets this early, so I'm going to wait until the last minute. I'm going to go see Pink at Chase Field by saving 60% the day of the concert, and I'm going to be a happy guy. And you can, too. Save up to 60% on tickets when you buy them. Last minute, it doesn't matter. Concerts, movies, or not movies, I guess they are movies, but shows, stuff out of gamage, all sorts of things. Sporting events, of course. And the best way to support us is by buying your tickets through the link in the description. We got some ideas here. Kenneth Felix says, make Jesse watch Ready to Rumble. And that's probably the best idea of anybody so far. Brett Johnson says, watch Little Big League. Little Big League is one of my favorite. Like, I don't even classify it as a kid's baseball movie. You can be a full-grown adult and see it for the first time and enjoy the hell out of that movie. And
we didn't make it through. There's a number of baseball movies that are still on the list.
Yeah.
I think that
we have
to get.
We got
to
make sure Jesse watches
everyone. Maybe that's where we go.
Gabriel has Goodfellas on there. I just don't know if Jesse's ready for Goodfellas yet. I mean, he did make it all the way through Shawshank Redemption. So
can we talk about Gabriel's earlier comment?
Which
about
one was that?
He said the day they charged me for ranch, I'll burn the establishment down to the ground. But my question is, we're talking about Chipotle here? Do you get ranch from Chipotle?
Look, don't judge the man. Don't judge
what
the man.
What would you put?
I've gotten ranch on a chicken burrito before.
That's prisonable. That's a prisonable offense.
No.
Chipotle. Yes,
no, absolutely not. Absolutely not. You guys are just painting yourself into a corner that
I think they're doing you a favor by charging for ranch because they're trying to like discourage you. Like, are
you know
you
who charges
sure you really
for ranch?
You know
who doesn't charge for ranch but puts it on a burrito or a wrap? Salad and go, Jesse. Salad and go. They have several wraps that are wrapped like a burrito that they put ranch in. So
yeah,
I don't
but
hear
it's
it.
Not. It's not the same as Chipotle. Chipotle and salad and go, not really comparable.
You can get a salad at Chipotle. This is crazy talk.
That's true.
I feel insane. This is how he makes me feel. He makes me feel old and crazy, and I hate it here. But you guys make me feel better.
All right, Gabriel says ranch from anywhere, but I'll chug ranch. Don't guess.
All right. Well, we need to get video of that.
Ranch is one of the better condiments. Like of all the American condiments, ranch is one of the better ones.
Yeah. All right. I'm not going to argue with that. I put ranch on a lot of stuff. So
yeah.
I guess we do agree on something before we go. But if you guys agree that we are an enjoyable podcast, make sure to subscribe to us everywhere you do that as well. Follow us on Twitter. I'm at @Cap_Caveman with a K. This guy's at Jesse N. Friedman. Our show is at @PHNX_DBacks. We are so close to 5,000. So any support you can offer us there, we would appreciate it. And we have a bunch of stuff to give away, by the way. So let's hit 5K and give some stuff away. Of course, all roads lead to @PHNX_sports on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We thank you guys again so much for being here. Happy Friday to you all on behalf of this guy who has not seen enough movies, Damon behind the mic, and myself. We always appreciate your time. And remember, kids, baseball is fun, but it's so much more fun when Ketel Marte is the best second baseman in baseball.